Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, fellow galactic sojourners. I am Hercules Invictus of the Olympian Arcanate. Welcome to Hercules and the Space Gods, an Olympian attempt to better understand, interact with, and attune ourselves to the creative powers that shaped us in the dawn of time and guide us still. Tonight, I'm proud to bring you Nick Hurto Presents the Disclosure Network. Nick is a dedicated and sincere practitioner of cosmic spirituality and a relentless explorer of realities beyond our own. So without further ado, I introduce Nick Hurto. Greetings and welcome, Nick. How are you?
Oh, thank you very much, Hercules. It's always a pleasure to be with you. And here in Manhattan, I was in Central Park today, and it was cold. And
yes,
believe it or not, you know, New York City is a wild place. There were people in bathing suits, men and women in bathing suits, and there were other people in coats, hats, scarves, and we're freezing. And it's like, wait a second, you can't all be right. But it was a brisk wind, and I thought it was very chilly. But the good news, and there is good news, is that Central Park, Manhattan is blooming. The flowers are up, the purple and the yellow flowers are there. The trees are bursting with buds and in some cases full blooms. And it's a gorgeous place to be. So if anybody is in the reach of Central Park, don't miss on a warm day going to Central Park and enjoying the beauty that is really here.
Yes, New York is beautiful, and I miss New York sometimes. For the past 20-plus years, I've been living mostly in mountains and forests and in suburban areas. So we got used to the quietude and the lack of anything tall beyond the mountains standing on a horizon. So the last few times in New York, it was kind of overwhelming. I saw more people in an hour than I'd seen the previous year.
It's quite a place. The diversity is amazing, and that's why I love here so much to live here. And I've been here now almost, I would say, 54 years. I can't believe that. I'm from New England, Springfield, Massachusetts, originally. And but New York is a place that I wanted to build my career and to explore the next chapters of my life. And I honestly can tell you that it was the best decision I've ever made. Absolutely. Okay, here we go. The program is Nick Hurto Presents the Disclosure Network. And I'm Nick Hurto, co-founder and director of Disclosure Network New York, and your host for this live podcast. DNNY is a grassroots organization now celebrating our 21st year of providing two meetings a month throughout the year in Manhattan. We focus on cutting-edge UFO ET issues, paranormal phenomenon of all kinds, as well as many other important and related subjects from a wide variety of areas and sources as we go deep into these exciting and sometimes misunderstood topics that the mainstream press will not talk about or ever disclose. And that's, of course, where things really are with that. It's too bad, but that's what we're experiencing. So with that, with the COVID breakout 2 years ago, we had to stop our face-to-face meetings, which we were doing at the Gay Center on West 13th Street, where we were renting a large room. And we have been going now to Zoom meetings. We still do two meetings a month. And we have speakers as well as guests that drop in, or we just have simply what we call a town meeting where everybody gets to talk about what they want to talk about. And those are also amazingly interesting. Now, if anybody would like to join us, you are more than welcome to do that. You don't have to be in Manhattan. You could be anywhere in the world because, as you know, Zooms are all over. I'm going to give you my email address. And if you let me know that you're interested, I'll give you the details on becoming a member. So if you get a piece of paper and a pen, and here we go, and I will be slow so you'll get this right. N-I-C-K-N-Y-N-Y-1. And that's the numeral one, not O-N-E, but the numeral one. at gmail.com. I'm going to repeat it, NICKNYNY1 at gmail.com, and I will send you the details, and you can join us. And believe me, you will be connected with people on these important issues from all over the world. That's an amazing thing that we have now, but there are people everywhere that join us. Now, our motto right from day one is, quote, connecting the dots to seek truth, unquote. And we have available also to every DNNY member worldwide our news service, Blast. It's called DNNY News Blast email service, focusing on all the topics of special interest for our group. And it goes out daily. That's how much information there is out there that we need to talk about with our members. And our members send me what they've discovered or experienced, and then I send that out to the whole list of our members. So just to let you know that would be part of your membership, is to be part of that news feed that comes out. And it is every single day. And it is it's amazing. It's information you won't see anyplace else. So I'm wondering, has our featured guest come in yet, Hercules?
No, not yet. We have two callers.
Not yet. Okay.
And neither of them is the guest. However, you do have a celebrity listener. So.
Well, I do. And she is going to be a featured guest in the next couple of months for sure. We've got a lot to talk about with Diana Munford for sure. Absolutely. I have a couple of things I could mention here that have recently happened that I think are of interest. One of our members from Disclosure Network has contacted me about a week ago and said, Nick, I've had a really traumatic experience, and I believe that I've had a chip placed in me forcibly in an abduction experience. And she was very, very upset about it. Of course she was. And she said, is there anybody that I can talk to that you know about this? And so I contacted a dear friend and one of the ufologist greats, the amazing author, Peter Robbins. Peter Robbins has books out. He does a lot of lectures, and he's well-connected. So I got a hold of Peter and expressed the need that we had, and the gentleman that he is, he got back to me right away and gave me two leads of people that this person could contact and find out more about what had happened to her. And I just got word that she did make a contact with one of them, and the person that she contacted was very happy to help her and gave her some advice. And she said, as she was getting the advice, it made perfect sense to her that yes, indeed. So I'm very happy that connection was made. And that's not an isolated case either of our membership having certain needs. And either our members or sometimes I connect with people that would know more about that.
Mm-hmm.
A little information about Robert White. Robert White, and you'll get the details from him, but basically he was from a very, very average place he was a very small child, and he was very close. His family lived very close to a nuclear facility, an energy plant. And what happened to him is something that would be in a science fiction movie. Again, he didn't ask for it, nor did his mother, but they found themselves in the middle of something that was quite extraordinary, incredibly scary, and they were trying to deal with that as best they could. Now, here's average people with an incident that doesn't make any sense to them at all. It's way out there, and all they were trying to do was to make some sense of it and act accordingly. And I have to give Robert's mom, she's now deceased, and also Robert, incredible credit for trying to deal with something that seemed absolutely impossible that happened to both of their lives. Eventually, this same incident went out to their relatives who lived close by. So it wasn't just Robert and his mother, but other people also got involved in this amazing and truly scary incident. And not only did it happen once, but it repeated many, many times. And the story is extraordinary. I've already said to Robert, this is a movie. Absolutely, it would be one of the best science fictions, although it's not science fiction, but it would be one of the best movies I can imagine. And I was suggesting that if he couldn't do it himself, and maybe he could, but if not, getting a very good script writer and getting a very solid script on this amazing subject, I think it would be of extraordinary interest to anyone about on the subject, and I think it would be a big hit. So I hope that Robert will do that. Now here we are years later, and Robert has been trying all his life to assimilate what had happened to his mom, who he loved very, very much and still does, and to him, and how to cope with it as life progressed. And he went very deep into the subject. He was exploring. He was reading everything he could get his hands on, a lot of videos, a lot of books, and he absorbed all of that. And recently, he had the idea, why don't I do a video series on this very subject? And it's called, and I love the title. When he told me the title, I immediately said, that is great. His title for the video series is called We Are Disclosure. And you know what? Yes, you are. Yes, you are, Robert, and your featured guest, because you're telling the truth. And the truth is something that I think everybody can agree is not something that's with us as much as it was not that many years ago. We are in a serious period of great deceit on many levels. And I think that everybody can agree with that. Some things that you thought were true are being proven to be not true at all. And you have to rethink everything. You know, there's a saying, question everything. I think people have heard that, question everything. You know what? That's really good advice, excellent advice, because you really have to make sure that what you believe to be true really is. And, you know, it's also, I have to say, challenging and to discover that what you thought was true isn't. That's happened to me in my life several times. It takes courage. And I'm not just saying for me, but for anybody, to face the music that, you know what, this is not the truth. And to say, all right, it's been proven that it was a lie. And so you have to move on. You have to face the music and welcome truth into your life on all levels, on all forms, because truth is important. And lies, you don't want lies to be part of your life in any way. And here I am, the old philosopher tonight, but, you know, that's really true, and that is good advice. You have to seek the truth, and if something doesn't quite smell right, something doesn't quite make sense, you really have to go into this a lot better and find out what is going on. And it's amazing sometimes what you can come up with. That goes all over the place. I think I told you the story that a few years ago, I was in a grocery store, a big grocery store here in Manhattan, right on 3rd Avenue, buying just a couple of groceries. It wasn't very crowded. And as I was approaching the cash register, I got this very, very powerful chill. And it was a chill that said, look out, this is danger. It was overwhelming. And I don't scare easily, but this was there. It was absolutely there. And it was, what is going on? It wouldn't go away. It was like, look out, look out. And, you know, I've always trusted my intuition and feelings that when something like that happens to you, you have to listen to it and explore it. It was a feeling that something evil, something horrible was in the room near you. And I thought about this for just a split second, and I thought, where is it coming from? and it wasn't coming from in front of me or in a side of me, either left or right. It was coming directly in back of me, and it was this huge feeling of danger. So I slowly turned my head around, and there was only one person standing in back of me, a ways away, maybe 10 or 12 feet away. There was nobody else around, and it was a very kind of dark figure with you couldn't really tell if it was almost a man or a woman. I thought it might be a man in dark clothing, and his face was kind of covered. He had his head down, but it was definitely coming from him or her, that direction for sure. And I thought, what is going on? Why am I'm being warned here? It was very real. And so I went a couple more steps. I put my groceries on the counter. I checked out. I didn't look back. I said, don't even look back. You don't want to see the face. I went out of the door, three blocks, went up to my 25th floor elevator and locked both locks of my apartment and thought, what in the world just happened? And I'm telling you now, I'm glad I did what I did. You have to trust your intuition and feelings about things like this because, you know, when I've talked to a policeman about this too, and he said, if you're on a lonely street and you suddenly feel as though you're being watched, believe it, probably true, and go out, not close to the trees, but maybe out a little further, maybe towards the road a little more, and take off. If you feel like running, you go ahead and run. But trust your feeling. It might save your life. And so I wanted to pass that on here. I want to ask my producer, Hercules. Hercules, has that ever happened to you that you got a feeling of a warning, some kind of deep warning?
Yes, and I try to heed those warnings when they come. I remember the most dramatic one was when I was in my late teens, early 20s, and I worked in a supermarket in Harlem, and I started working when I was 11. I had a beard when I was 11, so it wasn't that hard to get a job, but I was working there, and the next day when it was time to go to work again, I just felt a feeling of dread. And I wanted to call in sick, and my parents tried convincing me, no, you can't, that's irresponsible, you can't just take off whenever you want. And I didn't feel I was being irresponsible because I worked all the time when I was a kid. And I insisted, and I refused to go in. And it's a good thing that I followed that fear because somebody had been released from prison from the neighborhood. And he felt that while he was away, one of the clerks working in the store was flirting with his significant other. So a gun battle started. And many people I worked with were no longer alive after that gun battle. So it's a very good thing that I followed my instincts and stayed out because I was getting very heavy alarm bells about going to work that day.
I'm so glad that you listened to your inner feelings and said something is up here. I think more people should really do that. Trust your instincts, trust your intuition. And if there's something that alarms you, take a good long look at that. Don't dismiss it. Dear friends for both you, Hercules, and myself are Michael and Diane Duncan, who have an amazing podcast on the network here. And Diane was telling me that there was a time when her son always gets a bus at a particular spot, and that particular day something was – and she didn't want him to be there at the bus stop after school. There was just something going on. She didn't understand it, but she kept him from going there. I think probably he didn't go to school at all that day. I have to check my details, but basically he wasn't there. And right about the time that he was waiting for his bus, which he always did on any school day, there was a careening out of control truck, I believe, and it rammed into exactly where he would have been standing. Now, think of that. That her son may not be with us if she didn't trust her feelings that something was up. Now, Hercules, I want to ask you a question. I've never asked you this,
sure.
But how do you explain the warnings? Do you think that there's angels? How would you term that you're being warned, and it may be coming not from you, but from outside of you, in a sense? Do you have any feelings on that?
I don't know for sure, of course, but I believe that there are spirits that look over us, whether we want to think of them as the dearly departed, angels or gods, or, you know, any way we have of understanding them. I believe that there are spirits that look after us and that warn us of things. And I also believe that we have senses beyond the ones that we're trained to use in waking life. So some part of us, you know, senses something sometimes and tries to warn us. So I know that's another
answer. I totally get that.
I don't know for sure.
Yeah, but there's other things operating, and thank God that they are operating in our behalf. And I really do believe that. Now, some people, especially if they're from the Catholic faith, will call it guardian angels. Guardian angels that are there to protect us. And when I was young, probably about maybe 10 years old, I was in a place, it was by the ocean. My parents had driven there in Massachusetts, and they had stepped out and they were somewhere else, and I was alone, and there was this stone wall, this little stone wall. It was only a couple of feet off the ground, and it was like this little wall, and it was going up a hill. And so I thought that would be fun, so I got on top of it. Again, it was only a couple of feet off the ground. And I just started walking slowly up this hill, just to do that, just to have fun. And then I realized after a minute or so that I was very high up, and that the ground that was only 2 feet from the top of the wall where I was walking was now perhaps 15, 20 feet. I was way up there. And I went, all of a sudden it dawned on me, what are you doing? And at that point, I lost my balance. I really lost my balance, probably out of fear. And I had a slight dizziness, and I was going over backwards. I knew that I was about to fall. And as I'm telling you this, my hands are in the air, a force pushed me back. So I gained my balance again, and was slowly able to walk down into safety off of the wall. Now, and I tell you that that really did happen, and I probably owe my life to that force that somehow got my back and helped me. And that is very, very strong in my memory, absolutely strong in my memory, and I will never forget that. So do I think that there are guiding forces that do help us occasionally? Yes, I do. I absolutely believe that, and I'm glad that they're there.
Yes, it is amazing. There are so many different dimensions, and I remember during the World Trade Center catastrophe on September 11th, my office was right opposite the waters in Brooklyn. I watched the whole thing from the window. And
wow.
The TV that we hooked up. And I was listening to the radio broadcast for days afterwards. And it seems that a lot of people had the feeling not to go to work. They worked in Twin Towers that day. And they called them sick. And they said there was just a really strong feeling just of dread and of fear. And a few people disregarded it, but told their significant others that they felt it. And one person, her boss told her, his boss told him, I don't remember the gender, that if they don't go in, they're fired. So they went in and they died during the that. So it seems that, yes, we are watched after, and that, again, it's up to us whether we heed these warnings or not.
I've got a side story about the 9/11 that I want to share.
Sure.
The week before, I had a timeshare. I had a timeshare for many years, and you could pick a week somewhere in the world and stay there for a week. And I had a timeshare, and I decided to go to Disney World in Florida and spend the week right in the Disney World itself. There were hotels that were able to do that. So I did. I brought some friends with me, and we had a great week. Of course, being in Disney World is just such an experience. You have such a good time. And, of course, everybody is your friend. Everything is Technicolor. There's no evil in the place, you know. And you just have a great time, and that's what it's for. And we certainly did. And then it was over. We got on a plane, and I remember, strangely enough, that where I was sitting towards the back of the plane, there was a little kid right in back of me, and with all his might, he was kicking my chair. I was just mercilessly. And his parents weren't really telling him not to do that. And finally, I had to turn around and say, please. And finally, he did stop. But it was just one of those little things that kind of annoying, you know. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, I got home. And that was the day before 9/11. And eventually went to sleep. Got up. And I was looking at the early show, I believe it was the Today program on NBC, and all of a sudden there was this report of something is up, something is going on. And, of course, we all saw with our own eyes that the burning of the towers, and it was just, it was like, again, as you know, it was like a nightmare. Couldn't be happening, except it was happening. And the buildings were crashing. And the reason I'm bringing that up is that I went from Disney World, where everything is perfect and good and Technicolor, and there's no evil at all, to the next day morning, where it couldn't have been any more evil or any worse. And it was such a strange emotional feeling that to go from one extreme to another extreme, and I'll never forget that. I had dear friends who lived there with their kids, right a block from the World Trade Center, and I remember they told me that their kids had seen a person, dive from the World Trade Center to their death. That's so horrible on so many levels, and they decided enough is enough, and they literally sold their apartment, a condo, and they moved to Paris. Paris. That's how far they got away from this danger. They were just so traumatized by this, and they didn't want their children to even have that, to try to get away from what they had seen. I guess that's the best way to say it. And so, unfortunately, I lost contact with them. I'm sure the children are now fully grown. But they were a wonderful couple, and they used to give for their children and for their friends Halloween parties where everybody would dress up in costume, and me and my partner at the time dressed up like skunks. We had fur. We bought fake fur, and we black fur, of course, with the white stripe down our back and onto our tail. We had huge tails, and we got some spray. A container. If you squeeze it, it was a little canal. And we bought I believe it was a cologne. And so we went in the party, and we would indiscriminately spray someone that was in our path because we were skunks. And we had a lot of fun with that. That's a great memory I have of that particular party and that wonderful family. But that was such a traumatic experience. You know, as you know, Hercules, we still have wonderful architects that are exploring what really went on that fateful day, and they've gotten a lot more data now, and they have tours and they have books on it, 9/11 truth, and please take a look, folks, at their website, because they deserve our support. They're looking for what really happened and the perpetrators. And there's a lot more to that story, I believe, along with a lot of other people. That will be coming out. And I really think we have to solve that part of the puzzle to move forward on many, many levels, emotionally as well as politically. So for what that's worth. Hercules, I want to ask you what you think of the monument that's there, the monument now for the 9/11. Have you seen it?
No, I've not seen it. I lived through that. I didn't really follow what happened afterwards. I know that there were a lot of questions people had. And back then I had a website that explored these mysteries. So I remember I interviewed some authors of some books, but I haven't really kept up with what's going down there for a very long time. So you'll have to enlighten me on that or catch me up on it.
Well, I have to tell you then, and this is a very personal opinion. I'm going to label it as such. But I was very curious with what they finally selected, because there was a lot of plans that were there about what people would like to do for the memorial, which, of course, had to be put up there for not only the survivors, and there were some, but for all the families that lost so many dear family members. So they eventually picked a plan, and they built it. It was multi-million dollar monument. And what it was in the two squares that were the where the buildings had stood, the World Trade Center Twin Towers, they put it looks like black granite in squares, and they in the middle of it they put what we call a deep digging, and they flooded it with water. So that water from all four corners of each of the squares would flow down to a place you couldn't even see where it flowed to. It was like this very deep, dark hole. Mm-hmm. And so if you could imagine such a thing, these two squares, huge squares, as big as the World Trade Center structures, the bases, and they had and the black it was black water I mean it was black because of the granite, and it was flowing, so you could hear the water flowing. And I went to see it, and again I was very opened to I was looking forward to seeing what they would do to honor,
right?
And I've got to tell you, and this is a personal opinion, I was horrified. To me, it was not respectful at all. I was very upset about it. To me, it looked like, you ever see when it rains and the storm drains and the water is cascading down the deep, dark sewers?
Yes.
That's exactly how it looked to me. Mm. It just was anything but respectful, anything that was beautiful. And I was really very troubled by it. I still am. I don't like to go down there because it really bothers me so much. And I've talked to other people, and they have felt the same way when they've seen it, that of all the things they could have done, why did they have these cascading the waters on all four corners of both of the structure bases going into this deep, dark hole, kind of without end? Mm. It's disturbing, and I question. I'm sorry,
have they posted anything on the symbolism on why they chose to commemorate the event in that way?
Interesting question. And to my knowledge, I've never seen that, any rebuff about why they chose that. But to me, if they had looked for something that would be disrespectful, and if anything would trigger very negative feelings, they succeeded. And of all the structures, the most important monuments in America, to go ahead and do something like that is very troubling. And to this day, I'm not the only one who feels like that either. I mean, they could have done so many beautiful things. They could have created, for instance, a garden with pools of water, perhaps the pools where people could have laid flowers into the pools, and put their loved ones' names on the flowers that they had lost, and then floated it into these two pools of water. That would have been a gentle and beautiful thing that families could, I think have some closure, that they could, when they go back, they could do that, and it would have been a beautiful tribute. And the people right now, just to wind up this, the people are right now, the only thing they can do is where their loved ones who passed on are, their names are on the walls of all four corners of both of the structures where the water is. And they can take a single flower and kind of put it into the letter, one of the letters of their loved one, and that's all it will hold. It just seems very cold.
I looked it up at the 9/11 Memorial Museum, where they talk about the design of the memorial pools, and I'll read you like a shorter version of it. There are two pools, each nearly an acre in size, they sit in the footprints of the former North and South Towers. The pools contain the largest man-made waterfalls in North America, each descending 30 feet into the square basin. From there, the water in each pool drops another 20 feet and disappears into a smaller central void. According to the architect, the pools represent absence made visible. Although water flows into the voids, they can never be filled. The sound of the cascading water makes the pools a place of tranquility and contemplation separate from the bustling noises of the city. So that's what they were trying to do. I guess they didn't succeed in your eyes.
Interesting. Thank you for finding that. That sheds a little bit more light on it. But when people get a chance, if you're in the area, please do take a look at that and let us know what you think. I've given my opinion, but I would be very interested to know if you feel the same way or it strikes you very differently. I would really be curious what your own reactions are to that. Memorials are important. You probably all have been to Washington, D.C., and you've seen also the different memorials around Washington itself honoring various soldiers, various wars, prominent people in various areas. And they're good. They're wonderful. And it's a way for our children to remember people who should be remembered for their contributions. Our life would be very different of these people if the people didn't live, were not there at the strategic time that they were and what they contributed to society. So I'm all for memorials, absolutely. We need to remember the heroes, men and women heroes that really had our backs and did so much, in some cases gave their own lives so that we could have what we have now. And we must never forget them, ever. So let's see, what else can we talk about now? There's people in my group, Disclosure Network New York, that have reported sightings. In fact, it's actually picked up a bit of UFOs in the skies, not only in the New York City area, but all over, that they're still reporting that these are sightings that are just there. Also, there's been a rise in what we call, some people would call them vapor trails, but that's not really vapor. It's chemtrails that have chemicals in them, and they're being sprayed in the skies. I was in a train, and I looked out the window, and I saw crisscross patterns in the sky as I was in the train going back to Manhattan. And I was thinking, what in the world is going on? This looks like a horror movie for science fiction. And it was there. It just was undeniable. And nobody was asking the question, what is this? Why is this being permitted? Remember when we had blue skies and fluffy white clouds? Well, in many cases, that's not what we're looking at right now. And a couple of weeks ago, I happened to see a video that tourists had taken in Washington, D.C. They were following a motorcade. I think it was the president's motorcade. I believe that's right. And the camera that they had, and these are tourists, also caught the sky up over Washington, D.C. Again, this was only a couple of weeks ago. And it was crisscrossed with these trails. Now, Washington, D.C., let's be realistic. There's no airspace in the world probably more guarded than the Washington, D.C. airspace. How in the world are those chemtrails there? Who said that's a good thing we should have them? And what are they? And what is in the chemtrails themselves? There's been a lot of reports and scientific studies about what's in the chemtrails. And I have that report, and I can tell you that there was nothing healthy about any of the materials that these nanoparticles were falling to Earth. So anyhow, it's one of those concerns that has not gone away. And I had written to the Newark mayor, the last Newark mayor, and also the health department of New York City. And I said, could someone please address this and connect with me and my group, Disclosure Network New York, because we're simply inquiring is going on, who approved this and what's in these chemtrails. Nobody to this day has ever answered my letters, my inquiry. And we're talking about the health department, as well as the mayor's office. And I just find that disturbing.
Not even
you're living in New Jersey. Do you see chemtrails or vapor trails in your skies where you are?
Of course. And again, I've looked into the topic with the resources that you shared. And I've also looked into the topic from people who are saying there's nothing to them. The only conclusion I can come to, because both arguments, there's more than like two sides to this argument, made sense to me, but I'm not a specialist, so I really don't know this contradictory information, and I'm not in a position to judge the truth of any information. So I think it should be watched. I think that we should endeavor to explain it, and if it's dangerous, we should stop it. Again, mine is just my personal opinion and my best guess from what I'm reading.
Well, what you're saying here is that we need clarity. We need professional clarity about, and absolutely, you're right on the money on that. Of course we need that, because we need to know what's in the skies, and we know that whatever those nanoparticles are, they do fall from those trails to the surface, and they hit not only people, they hit all vegetation, all our animals, our friends, our pets, the animals of the forest, the vegetation, our water supply. It's those nanoparticles are falling. What in the world is going on? I just think that what you're saying is deserved, that we need to have clarity. Somebody needs to investigate this and give us a clear answer. And I don't see any – I've looked. Believe me, I have looked. I've never seen anybody address this very important subject.
That was one of the first subjects when we connected that was dealt with on the podcast. The problem with some of the more scientific explanations are they're dismissive. You have a lot of people, some of whom have good credentials in the sciences, who can make an informed opinion. Even these are being dismissed without being addressed. So I feel that we don't have the information, or if there is the information, it's not being given to us in a way that would reassure people's fears. So what do you call it? I believe it's still something we need to look at officially. And if it's unfounded, that'd be great. That'd be fantastic. One less thing to focus on that may be deleterious to our health. But we're not there, so it continues to attract a lot of questioning, which it should.
Absolutely, and everybody's got a stake in this. And when you're raising young children, and you want to be in the sunshine with them, you want to be in the grass and play with them, you want it to be clean, clear air, and nothing else, nothing that's going to hurt them. And right now, nobody has stepped up to the plate and done a serious investigation and come up with the answers that every citizen deserves to know. And I find that really very troubling. I can't imagine what's stopping a major search of what's in them. And also, since this is in planes, and not just in New York City, it's on all the major cities, not only in this country, but in just about every major city in the world. This is a gigantic undertaking, and you're thinking, who has the money? And we're talking not millions, billions, or perhaps trillions of dollars for the planes and the pilots and the tanks. Now, if you go into the YouTube and you put in there chemtrails and or chemtrail tanks in planes, there's photographs that have come out of what is in the planes, and you're seeing these gigantic tanks of whatever the substances are. And there's many different tanks, huge tanks in the planes. All the seats have been taken out. And I've seen these photographs. Anybody can go to YouTube and see these. And I'm thinking, what in the world are we dealing with here? I mean, it's black and white. These are tanks. And obviously they're spraying. What are they spraying? And for what purpose? So it's a serious, serious question. And, you know, it's been now how many years, 20, 25 perhaps, that this has been seriously in our skies now. And a lot of the younger people see that as normal, that, oh, yeah, there's white, mostly white, but some black streaks of that don't, they last for many, many hours or days in the skies, and they think that that is normal. Well, in our generation, Hercules, this was not normal at all. We had clear skies, blue skies, with fluffy white clouds. And that was the normal for us. And it's not the normal now. And again, it's one of those little issues, just like the issues of abductions, of UFO flights in the skies. What is going on? And these are key questions. And I know that you have a real interest in this. So do I. This is one of my key interests of my life, is finding out the truth about what's going on and trying to get a handle on it. Again, we're looking for the truth, and we're hoping that the truth will be good information, you know, and not something horrible. But at the same time, the truth is the truth, and we have to find it. I should say probably at this point, because we're getting near the last part of our program, our podcast, that if anybody wants to chime in with any questions or comments about any of the subjects that we have been talking about this evening, Hercules and myself, we would be very happy to take your questions or comments. And I'm going to give you my email, my personal email address. And if you would just address that to either me or Hercules at my email address, if it's for me, I'll answer it. And if it's for Hercules, I'll put it out to him. So I'm going to give this to you. nickny1@gmail.com. And again, that one is not O-N-E, but the numeral one. I'm going to say it one more time, nickny1@gmail.com. So, wow, it's been quite an hour.
Yes.
Somehow we, Robert White, I know that he's a very busy man right now with this series that he's producing, and he's been spending a huge amount of time with the special effects to tell the stories of the different people that come on the program as his guest. And he's done an incredible job of doing very interesting programs. I think he's up to like 12 or maybe 14 programs about now. And I wouldn't miss them. They're very interesting. And it's called Robert White and We Are Disclosure. Again, I love that title too. It's saying that
title.
the grassroots of America and the world, we need to explore and discover and pass that information on. We are disclosure.
And Hercules,
have you seen any of Robert's his programs? Have you had a chance to see them yet?
I've seen an interview that he did and another appearance that he had, just to get some background for today's show.
I haven't seen his
new episodes. I do intend to check them out, though. Thank you for recommending them.
Yeah, I think that people should take a look at them. And he has some very interesting guests. And they go into very deeply what the guest has had as their own personal experience. and he gives a lot of time to digging into the facts of what went on and tries to come up with answers or trying to help the guests to come up with some, how shall I say it, possibilities of what was going on. And it's a very interesting interesting programs that he has done. It's very ambitious, and I give him a lot of credit for going out and producing these programs. And I know he's been working day and night, really, trying to turn these out. He's got a tremendous amount of energy. I give him a lot of credit for that, to put these programs out. And I think that they're very beneficial. He's explored a lot of the subjects that we do on our program, Disclosure Network New York, and also Connecting the Dots with Mary Jo Fahey. A lot of the subject matter that we go into, Robert is also exploring. And good for him to take up the reins on that and sometimes come up with very interesting scenarios. So I'm so sorry that he couldn't be with us today, but I will hopefully book him very soon so he can give us some inside information on his programs and what's coming up in the near future for his programs. Hercules, how much more time do we have now for this particular podcast?
Around a couple of minutes, and then I have some announcements that I'm going
to
make.
Sure. I want to make sure there was plenty of time for that. So anyhow, this is an amazing subject matter. I think that we need answers, and they can't come fast enough. And I think that the more truth that's out there that we can discover, the healthier we will all be. And we deserve the truth. We don't deserve lies or partial truths anymore. We're well beyond that. And people who said, well, we only lied to you because we're trying to protect you, I don't think that holds water anymore. A recent survey said, I believe 65% of the people who were questioned said, yes, there is life in the universe, and they have visited and are visiting us. And a great many people have said, I have seen UFOs in the skies myself. So this is a subject of huge interest on so many levels. So I look forward to that. So Hercules, then I'm going to do my little closing then, and then you can do your announcements. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So again, thank you for sharing the program, Hercules. It was great talking to you.
I had a great
always.
Time.
And so this is Nick Kirtle for Disclosure Network New York, wishing you all an enlightened journey as you connect the dots to seek the truth. Till next time, keep informed, stay very, very safe, and be kind to one another. Goodbye for now. Goodbye. Much love to you all.
Thank you very much, Nick. That was an awesome show, as always, and I look forward to our next conversation, as always, which will be next week with Nick Kirtle Presents The Creative Process. So I'm really looking forward to that one. And for those at home, as we close, again, I'm Hercules Invictus of the Olympian Arcanate, and now we'll tell you of the Olympian Starseeds Initiative. What is the Olympian Starseeds Initiative, I hear you asking? Well, Olympian Starseeds are embodied reflections of Olympus's light. They have chosen to drink the waters of forgetfulness and enter the dream of mortality to assist in the process of apotheosis here on Gaia. The Olympian Starseeds Initiative, which we'll call the OSI, is tasked with locating and liberating incarnate Olympians ensnared by the dream and reminding them of their Olympian mission. The OSI, mindful that archetypal Olympian patterns have been programmed into the human psyche, believes in assisting all people on Gaia with actualizing their maximal potential. And the OSI, like all our other cosmic initiatives, supports all of humanity's efforts to transcend this world and venture forth into the great beyond, be they metaphysical, mechanical, or even imaginal. If you like Greek mythology, if you like science fiction like Stargate and Star Trek, if you like cosmic spirituality and ancient alien shows, you will love this new program. We have one playing later this week. Thanks again for joining us. Until next time, this is us. Wish you Joyous Journeys and Amazing Adventures, and we will close with Golden Bough by Virginia Ackland.
Moonlight.